moment, Blake. Thank you for calling in. Blog
Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Moment, Blake. Thank you for calling in. We're going to start the show in about 2 minutes. So please hold on. Thank you. First of all, let's start out by saying thank you all for calling in for the first segment of Mojo Talk Radio, because marriage really matters. And we are so excited about this opportunity, John and I. And speaking of which, my husband is actually on his way home. He is in traffic, rushing home to join us. But first of all, we want to thank you for believing in our ministry. We know that you believe because you just called in. And our segment is basically an open dialogue forum that will allow you to ask questions or express your thoughts about the subject matter which surrounds marriage. Tonight our topic is the benefits of marriage. And we know that there are a lot of benefits of marriage. And today there's a stigma on marriage that there aren't any benefits of being married. So today we're going to have an open dialogue about that topic, the benefits of marriage. But before we hit the topic, first I would like to tell you a little bit about the show. The platform of our show is to simply promote marriage. John and I are not licensed counselors or experts, but we feel that we are led by God to help individuals concerning marriage. So we encourage you to call in every week, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, to help us as we all help each other together in this endeavor to save marriages. So some of the topics that we're going to discuss would be around dating before and after marriage. We're going to talk about baby mama drama. So how to have that in marriages. We're going to talk about blended families, controlling in-laws, managing money in a marriage. We're also going to have hot topics like how to keep the flame burning. We're going to talk about patience, not punishment. We're going to have topics surrounding loving when it hurts. Sometimes when you're offended by your mate, it's tough to go on when they've hurt you. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to have topics about trusting my mate after divorce. This is about moving on to that new person in your life. And we're also going to have topics about how to love my mate's friend. And we know sometimes that's an issue as you become married. You have to combine your friends with his friends. So with that said, that's basically the platform of our show. But before we hit on our topic about the benefits of marriage, first I would like to give you a scripture coming from Genesis 2, 22 and 24. And it reads, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be,'" hold on for a minute, I lost my place. "'She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh.'" Also, Proverbs 5, 18 and 19 says, "May your foundation be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breath satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love." Proverbs 12 and 4 says, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones." So let's hit on the topic, and let's begin to talk about the benefits of marriage. You know, I was researching, and I was reading an article about marriage and relationships, and this was written by Carol Heffernan. And she spoke about an author. His name is Gary Thomas. And he had some really valid points about benefits of marriage. And he talked about marriage and how we look to marriage to find that perfect happiness and for it to be conflict-free and living in a world of total bliss. And he went on to say, instead, he said, we appreciated what God designed marriage to be and to provide partnership, spiritual intimacy, and the ability to pursue God together. So what does, and this is Thomas who wrote the article, think is the most common misconception Christians have about marriage? Finding a soulmate, someone who will complete us, he says. The problem with looking to another human to complete us is that, spiritually speaking, it's idolatry. We ought to find our fulfillment and purpose in God, and if we expect our spouse to be God to us, he or she will fail every day. No person can live up to such expectations. Everyone has bad days, yells, and his or her spouse. I know my husband and I, we have bad days sometimes. Or is downright selfish. Despite these imperfections, God created the husband and wife to steer each other in his direction. God created marriage as loyal partnership between one man and one woman. That's one. Marriage is the firmest foundation of building a family. God designed sexual expression to help married couples feel intimacy, and marriage mirrors God's covenant relationship with people. All right? And that's why we see that this parallel throughout the Bible. For instance, Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom and to the kingdom of heaven as a wedding banquet. And that's used as a symbolic metaphor to marriage. So as we talk about some of the benefits of marriage, we want to talk about things such as, I don't know about the listeners tonight, but one of the benefits of marriage to me was having a true companionship who could help me when I was weak and to help me not feel guilty about the intimacy. Hi, honey. Hey, y'all. My husband just made it home. Yay! Say hi to the listeners, honey.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for calling in today.
So John had to work late, but hey, that's the way marriage is. You make it work and you keep it going. So let's talk about the benefits of marriage. I think that marriage has many, many benefits, and there's a stigma out there about marriage, that marriage is, you know, this fluke, this thing that is never going to last. It's got to always have turmoil, issues and things like that. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to have issues in marriage, but it doesn't have to always be
again,
if you know what I'm saying. So when I think about marriage, some of the benefits is that I love to come home to my husband when he doesn't have to work at night. Another benefit of marriage is I love being intimate with my husband and not having the guilt of, you know, basically living in sin, you know. Another benefit is I like the fact that my husband brings home a paycheck and I don't have to worry about, you know, money 24/7 or carrying the bills by myself. I like the fact that he's a strong individual and that when I am weak, he lifts me up, you know. And so, honey, what are some of the benefits of marriage for you?
Well, I guess all of the above, actually, but, you know, I love coming home to the companionship, the warmth and love of my wife. I love, you know, in marriage, it takes two. It's a teamwork effort. You always can't be the strong person that you want to be and be able to do it by yourself. So having that person as your support, having that person that's down for you, having that person that's got your back, having that person you can talk to, those are things that I really like and appreciate. And when I'm having a bad day or when things are not just working out the way that I would want them to be, I can always, like, at the end of the night, know that I can be in the comforts of my wife and discuss all those things that may have bothered me or that I might have gone through that day and know that, you know, I have a true friend in my wife. So those are some of the benefits.
I think that's beautiful, honey. You said some of the benefits of having his wife. I know that when I was single, you know, I was content with who I was, but there were a lot of times I was lonely, and I have to admit to that. I'm not going to say marriage is for everybody, because some people just don't desire to be married, and that's okay. We're not trying to push marriage on people. We're just trying to help people understand that there are benefits in marriage. So now we're going to open it up to our callers with questions, concerns, comments about the benefits of marriage.
All right. Thank you so much. Hi, I am listening in tonight to ask a question about being your spouse's good friend. How did you become good friends before you decided to get married?
Well, honey, you want to talk about that? How we became good friends before we decided to get married?
Well, I would say that, first we dated. And in dating, I think we went out several different times. And just through conversation, I found it very easy to look at her and talk to her about just about anything. You know, it's very important for both sides to communicate. You can't have one party communicating and the other not. And when you communicate, you're going to find out whether you like that person enough to consider them as a friend or you're not. And I think it's very important that you know, really good relationships start out probably as really good friendships as they go along with you.
Yeah. I would also say I think what helped us become friends was that we communicated effectively. We just didn't talk, you know, nonverbal communication or whatever type of communication, but there was a lot of verbal communication with us. And I think that it's important that if you're going to build a friendship in your marriage, you should really try to get to know the person, and then I think honesty is the key. I think sometimes in a marriage, you know, there are hard questions that you have to, you know, ask sometimes. You have to, you know, ask questions. I know when my husband and I, we met, my husband wasn't employed at the time. He was drawing his unemployment. It was doing a huge layoff. So those were questions we had to talk about. Like, what do you do for a living? So what are you doing for money and things like that, but he was honest about it. And I think if he would have lied, he wouldn't be my husband today. There were things I had to be honest about in our relationship, about some of my hurts and pains and disappointments of past relationships that I was still dealing with and also carried in our marriage, and we'll talk about that on another topic. But I think communication is the key in a relationship, and you have to talk it out. Not only do you walk it out, but you talk it out. And I think that's the best way to get to know a person and decipher whether or not they're telling the truth.
Okay. Wonderful. Another benefit would be coming home to somebody who had a bad day. And how would you handle that when they come home and they've had a ugly day and they are not really talkative? What do you do with that?
I think you just have to be sympathetic to what's going on. I mean, no one's perfect, and the person that was has gone back to heaven. So following in his lead, you know, you have to have the patience and understanding to just, when somebody has a bad day, just to give them your support and a lending ear. A lot of times that's all that's necessary. You know, sometimes they'll need a massage, and my wife knows that. That's a very high privilege on her list. But, you know, at the end of the day, whatever they need, you know, it's basically comfort. It's basically a listening ear to listen to the whole day, to listen to what they have to basically get out. They're just getting out their day, out of their system. And if you can sit there and sit through that, you know, typically by the end, they feel better. You've done nothing more than just listen to make it better. And it works out. That works out well for both parties.
I'd like to expound on that question as well. I'd like to touch on it. I think in terms of coming home with a bad day, my husband has had to deal with that from me more so than me having to deal with it from him. And what helped me calm down from a bad day was that he catered me with love. And there were times I walked in and I literally wanted to take out my frustrations on him, and there were times that I did. but he would always return whatever I said or, you know, my frustrations with a soft answer and love, and then that would make me calm down and change my my tactic or my approach or my emotions, and then everything would be okay. But you got to have a lot of patience.
Yeah.
And understanding. Yeah. Do we have any other callers out there who would like to ask any questions or make any comments? I see you on the line. Don't know who you are, so feel free. Don't be afraid.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
So, like, in the beginning, you know, I hear y'all talking about the benefits and, you know, being married and all that. So, in the beginning, if the marriage was just like, you know, y'all grew to be friends, y'all communicated, you know, everything was good. But when you got married, you know, as the marriage progressed, there's no more communication. You know, what do you do? How do you get that back?
Honey, you want to
expand on that? How do you get that communication back? It takes two. And if one party is given the communication and the other party is not willing to communicate, I'm willing to bet that you know the things that the other party likes to do or that likes or what gets to them as far as getting your point across. A lot of times, you know, you sometimes have to step back. If you've been yelling at your partner and screaming at them and they just don't get it, they probably would rather you come at them a little bit lighter tone and a little bit of softer in order for your point to get across, because they're not going to expect that. You know, if I get yelled at all the time and I don't like it, I'm going to tune it out. But you start coming to me in love, I'm going to be like, wait a minute, what's coming my way? And so now you got my attention. You have my curiosity. And that is one of the ways of getting that communication back open. If you've been trying and trying one way and it ain't working, why would you continue to go down that line and try it that way? It's time to change it up. It's time to add something different. And as you change your approach, you might get something totally unexpected back, coming back your way, which is that person beginning to reach out and communicate with you. That's just some of my thoughts of how to go about that and getting it back.
Yeah, that's a good point, honey. When you're trying to get your mate to communicate with you, you have to be careful it depends on the subject. If it's a serious subject that you really want to communicate with him about or him or her, you might want to decide on the time. For example, most men like football or basketball games.
And do not communicate with your husband.
Yeah, you can't do that now when they're watching those games. No.
Okay. So,
right.
You know, you might want to ensure that if it's something that you really want to talk about, that it hasn't been a stressful day for him, that he's not, you know, angry or he's in a good mood and it's not going to set him off. You know, maybe after a sweet night of romance, there are sometimes, I'm not going to say it's manipulating, but sometimes when I want my husband to do certain things or I want to talk to him, I talk about it in bed. I talk about it in bed because you know, that's when he's tired, that's when he's subtle, and that's when he's ready to talk and think. So kind of change up your approach. And timing is a true factor in it. And, you know, decide on when it's the best time to talk. Timing.
Yeah. I probably talked to him as well if he was on a full stomach, too. So just FYI.
All right. We got any other questions? We got a little bit more time here. So hit us with it. Let's talk. I see you out there, but I don't know who you are, so you can speak up. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 8818. What do you think about the benefits of marriage? I'm like, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, that would be
8818. Have any thoughts? Okay. What about caller 0621? Do you have any thoughts? Last four digits.
I just asked the question.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's really it. I was just talking about the communication, like, you know, before. And then, you know, even though I listened to you all and I've done all that, so I think it's more so the past that he's been through. So it makes it harder now. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. So, you know, now I'm just kind of like lost now.
Okay. Most of the time when individuals stop communicating, they're dealing with something, okay? It could be pain. It could be unforgiveness. It could be bitterness. And so sometimes when dealing with communication, you got to get to the root, okay? You got to get to the root of why we stop talking. And sometimes you have to take the lead and say, hey, let's sit down. I need to talk to you about why we stopped talking. Because I miss that. If you shut down and you're not saying anything and he's not saying anything, then that's really not going to get you anywhere. So what you have to do, you have to sit down and say, it hurts me when you don't talk to me. I miss what we had. I miss the communication piece. And I feel that we're missing that. And sometimes men think that you're communicating, but you're not. Because they get sick of us rambling anyway. We talk way more than they do. So what you have to do is, you know, find out what's causing this individual, your husband, not to talk, not to communicate, and then express the loss of that.
So I got a question. Did you guys communicate a lot before you got married? And if you did or didn't, in what form were you communicating?
When we before we got married, it was like more fun before we got married. We talked about everything from his past to my past. We watched movies together. We did everything together. But now it's just so much different now.
So would you say that the issue is that you're not communicating or you're not having fun? Basically, you guys are not doing things together.
I think it's a little of both because there's times where, you know, because I remember, like, before we got married and when we decided to live together, he would come home, you know, kiss me. We watch movies together. You know, when you saw him, you saw me. When you saw me, you saw him. Now it's not like that. When he come home, he'll eat because I have dinner ready, and then he'll just stay downstairs and watch TV. You know, it's like we don't watch TV together anymore. I mean, we don't really do too much of anything anymore.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Hello?
I mean, yeah, caller, we're hello? Here. We're here. Yeah, caller, we're
hello?
Here. Yeah,
this is,
can you hear us?
This is Samuel.
Yes, hold on for 1 minute, Samuel. We have a question going on. And if you're not talking, if you could put your phone on mute until you're ready to ask your question, that would be great.
Okay.
Just to keep down the background noise. Okay, so caller, what I suggest is that you sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with him because it's tough when you've been married for a while and then the flame starts to dwindle. And what you have to do in order to keep your husband interested is do the things that he's interested in, right? So say, for example, if he likes football, you know, if you can save up and buy him some football tickets and you could go to the football game together. And then during halftime, you say, hey, baby, I really miss this. And, you know, I'm excited about us being here, and I really want us to do more things together. Because sometimes when he loses the fire, you start to not want to put forth the effort and the work. But when you trust God and you ask God to give you strength, you can fight for that relationship back. Because that's a trick of the enemy to cause you to separate in such a way that you're not communicating, you're not having fun doing things together, you're not, you know, keeping that up. So when he walks in, you be at a place where you can kiss him. Don't wait for him to kiss you. You be at a place where you can kiss him because you can win him back over. And sometimes in a relationship, and we've all been guilty, I've been guilty of it, we become complacent. We become lazy. We become tired. And we can't get that way with each other. And if that's where he is right now, then you have to come up with creative ways to keep that spark going, to keep it moving, to keep pushing forward, to keep loving on him, because love is what will win him back to you.
Okay.
Love will help. If you were cooking in the beginning, keep cooking, even when it hurts. When he walks through the door, don't wait for him to kiss you. You go kiss him and give him a hug. And when you start showing him that affection again, you're winning back. And it's going to take some work, but it'll be well worth the work if you don't give up. All right?
Okay. Okay.
All right. Caller 3666. Hello? Samuel?
Hello?
Hi. Did you have a question or a concern?
No questions. Just wanted to talk about marriage.
Okay, right now the topic is the benefits of marriage. What do you have to say about that?
The benefits of marriage. I believe there are great benefits in marriage. Great friendship.
Yeah.
You always have that friend around that you can, you know, you're not at home lonely and dating and, you know, out and about looking for somebody to be with. You always have that person that, you know, you'll always be with. And God put you, God put them in your life to be with forever, which is a good thing. And also the benefits of marriage, love and happiness. You know, when you're out dating, you're searching for somebody to love and make you happy. When you're married, you always have that person.
It's great. That's great. I like that. You know, we were talking about some of the benefits of marriage, and statistics say that married couples build more wealth on average than singles or cohabiting couples. It also says married men earn more money than do single men with similar education, job, and or history.
Oh, that's a big benefit.
I believe that to be true. Statistics got it right on that.
When you're married,
you also, that woman can lift you up and make you do better and want better.
Yes.
Not only for yourself, but for her also.
That's true. Let me go through another statistic. It says married women are economically better off than divorced, cohabiting, or never married women. That's interesting.
Don't forget it.
Marriage and children. It says children raised by their own married mother and father are less likely to be poor or to experience persistent economic insecurity.
Hmm.
It says children who are raised by both parents are more likely to stay in school, have fewer behavior or attendance problems, and earn four-year college degrees. It also says children are less vulnerable to be serious emotional illness, depression, and suicide. It goes on to say children who are raised by both parents, married couples, are more likely to have positive attitudes towards marriage and greater success in forming lasting relationships. It goes on to say marriage and crime, domestic violence. Married women are at lower risk of domestic violence than women in cohabiting or dating relationships. It goes on to say that boys raised in a single-parent homes are more likely to engage in criminal and delinquent behavior than those raised by two married biological parents. Married women are significantly less likely to be the victims of violent crime than single or divorced women, and married men are less likely to perpetrate violent crimes than unmarried men. It goes on to say marriage society. The institution of marriage creates the social, economic, and affective conditions from affecting parenting. Being married changes people's lifestyles and habits in ways that are personally and socially beneficial. Marriage is a seedbed of pro-social behavior. Marriage generates social capital. The social bonds created through marriage yield benefits not only for the family, but for others as well, including the larger society. So it appears there are a lot of benefits to marriage, regardless of what society, shows marriage to be or says marriage is. There are a lot of benefits of being married. I know some people, don't want to get married because of the fear of divorce. A lot of people don't want to get married because they've been married before, and they just don't want to do it again.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. If you are married and as a man and you have friends that aren't married, is it best for you to have friends that are married or have friends that are single and they go out and they date and stuff like that, or they go out and they party and stuff? And is it okay for you to do that, or like go out with those friends, or should you find more married couples that you can relate to and go out with them as a married couple?
I would answer that caller like this. If you ever watch basketball, I'm pretty sure you might agree that LeBron James right now is one of the world's best basketball players. And that is awesome. And with that comes a lot of attention and a lot of money and wealth from advertising, from big contracts and whatnot. And one of the most amazing things that I've seen LeBron James do is he's got his boys, he's got his teammates, and he can hang out with them. But you will constantly see that LeBron James is hanging with people such as Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. And if you ever wonder why he would hang out with them, one of the main reasons why he has chosen to connect himself to maybe the third richest person in the world and the most richest person in the world, because LeBron wants to build his wealth. So he is connected to people who, if he's hanging out with them, he's learning from them on how to increase his wealth and how to emulate and be just like they are, because he knows that he doesn't want to be where he's at now. He wants to take it up a little higher. I would in turn say that if you want to hang out with single friends and guys that are looking for someone, when you already have someone, I'm not saying you can't do it. But I'm saying you're hanging out with people who are trying to get to where you're already at. Mm. And if you're already there and you start to hang out with people that are married, you're going to see that if you're in a nice house and that person's in a mansion, you might just learn from hanging out with that person how to get to that next step. Or if you're in a Cadillac and they are driving a Mercedes and you want to have that, start to attach yourself to people who can influence you in that way. Not only influence you, but also learn from them. Couples give knowledge to couples. And when you do that, you begin to learn of ways, I didn't see I can do this for my spouse, or I could do this for my spouse. Or hanging out together, you realize that you have things in common. Instead of you trying to hang out with your friends and find you know, someone to watch the kids. You're now hanging out with people who have kids. And so it's no big problem when you guys are all hanging out and the kids are along because everybody's on the same page there. But those are some of the benefits, not only of marriage, but hanging out with married people when you are married. And if you're single, you know, it's not that if you're single and you're trying to get married, you know, that's a different thing. Sometimes learning from those who have already taken that step is a good thing to do. It's not necessarily hanging out with them, not that you can't, but definitely learning from those people who have taken that step, learning the pros and learning the cons is some of the benefits in that from a married couple. What do you think, Mona?
I think that's a good analogy because, you know, it reminds me of my girlfriend, my best friend. When I first met her, she said, Monette, do you have a home? And I said, no, I don't own a home. And she said, well, you know, why don't you? And I said, well, my credit's probably shot. And she said, well, have you ever checked? And I said, no. And she said, well, unless you check, you'll never know. And I said, well, I don't know how to go about purchasing a home. She said, well, then you need to start hanging with people who already have homes. And I said, oh, like you? And she said, yeah. Well, today that same person who made that statement is my best friend. And as a result, I am a homeowner, praise God. And she did help me along the way understand the process of home buying. So what my husband just basically said is, it's not a bad thing to hang around single people because you can help them in certain ways. But at the end of the day, you can hang with single people, don't get me wrong, but it's very important to have barriers. When you are married, you cannot do the same thing that single people do. Otherwise, you would still be single. Does your whole life change? No, it doesn't change. But 9 times out of 10, it will change, whether you like it or not. Because if your friends are out, hanging out, staying out to 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, you know as a married man or a married woman, you cannot do that because your mate is going to get tired of it, and it's going to cause problems in your marriage. You have to be very careful with single people when you are married because they will make the single life look very tantalizing and very tempting. And you have to recall how it was when you were out there. Yeah, you were happy. You had a great time, and you partied, and you did whatever. But at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, why did I get married? So something in you along the way when you were single, you said, I'm tired of being single. I have met the woman or man of my dreams, and I'm ready to call it a night. I'm ready to throw in the towel of being single, running the streets, hanging out late with my buddies, doing whatever, and commit to my wife and commit to my wife as being my best friend. So along the way, you can have single friends. I do. But at the end of the day, I have boundaries, and I can't do everything that they do. If we're out and we're having dinner and they want to hang a little late and they want to talk, if it's hitting 10 or 11 o'clock and I know it's time for my husband to come home, then I'm going to do everything in my power to say, yeah, I can't stay after midnight. I've got to be home when my husband enters that house because I know my husband likes his wife at home when he comes home. So did that answer
okay.
your question?
Yes. And Miss Monette.
Yes.
I follow you on Twitter. And
yes.
You recently took a trip to Florida.
Yes.
How did your husband feel about that?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
How did you feel about your wife taking a trip to Florida with her friends?
No, I don't have an issue with that. You know, in a marriage, you're going to find that there's different levels that you come to. And along the way, the more years you are, that's why you have anniversaries. You celebrate making it to the next year. And then you have those anniversaries that kind of milestones, you know, when you get to that 5th and that 10th and that 20th. And although we're probably nowhere near the 20th or the 10th just yet, we're probably getting close to the 10th. But what happens is the longer you go into your marriage and the more you trust your mate and the more you guys are really good as friends, then you won't worry about your wife going to Florida at some point in time. Now, if you're newlywed and your wife is now booking a trip to Florida with the girls, you might have some concerns there. But after a while, it's not that you become complacent, but you become this level of trust. You know that, or as I knew, and when my wife went to Florida, I was going to hear from her at about a certain time of night. I was going to hear from her during the day. I was going to know that everything was okay. I would see the same stuff posted, knowing that she's having a good time. What I knew and what I felt in my heart and what happened is that she wasn't going to go out and wild out in Florida. And that's where the trust comes in. You know, everybody sometimes needs, every couple as well, needs to have their space in some ways. And you have friends outside of your marriage, and I have friends outside of our marriage. But when I say outside of the marriage, it's just simply the fact that I have friends that I can hang out with. It doesn't mean they're so outside that my wife doesn't know of those friends. They're not friends so outside that I don't know of my wife's friends. It's just the fact that sometimes she's going to hang with the girls, sometimes I'm going to hang out with the guys. At the end of the day, there's a trust factor that's there that says, hey, my husband can go hang out with the guys, but he's coming back to me. And likewise, my wife can go to Florida, but, you know, guess what? She's coming back to me. So really, as far as I'm concerned, had no issues, came back, and everything's great.
Okay.
That's your question, Tala.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for following me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. You must have been Instagram. But anyway, thank you, caller. Do we have any more comments or questions? We've got a few minutes here. We can actually go off topic if you'd like.
I wanted to ask you a question about the people who get married just to have a mate, what I usually call rollover. You don't roll over because they're in the bed, but you got to have somebody in the bed with you. What do you say about that?
Okay, I think that's funny. She said just a rollover mate. People who get married just to say they got somebody, you got to be very careful with doing that, because if it's not in God's will and you're out of order and you're doing it for fleshly desires, just know that there's a price to pay for marrying somebody just for fleshly desires, to be able to just turn over and say, hey, I got a warm body. There are things you have to deal with and a price you have to pay for just having a warm body, because you're going to have to deal with that person on a daily basis. And not just in bed, but also out of bed. So whatever problems, troubles, or idiosyncrasies that individual might have, you're going to bring all that on you. So if you marry somebody just to have sex or just to have them, you know, in bed, that's not wise, because eventually the sex will get old.
Thank you.
That's a good question, because some people do get married just to have somebody there and not be lonely. And then they end up being miserable and lonely anyway.
Thank you for answering it for me.
All right. Any more callers have any concerns, questions, or comments? We have a few more minutes. All right. Okay, so on next week, we have a lot of topics, and I'm going to give this piece of paper to my husband and have him the topic out of the bag and see what we're going to talk about. I hope baby mama Trump. That's going to be a huge topic for next week. We all deal with it. Hey, Collins, what do y'all think about baby mama Trump for next week? Just a quick yes. Anybody?
Yes.
Yes, I got one yes. Can I get another yes?
Yes.
All right. I got, I think, 2, 3 yeses. One more yes. Hello?
I think everybody said yes.
Everybody said yes. All right. right. So next week, I'm going to commit all of you to challenge all of you to call back. Because next week, we're going to talk about baby mama drama and dealing with baby mama drama in your marriage. You all ought to see the look on my husband's face.
Wow.
He said, no.
Nah. All I can say is we better have 2 hours to talk.
I'm going to keep this stuff.
So next week, we'll talk about the blended family as it relates to the baby mama drama, because baby mama drama comes from you being married and your husband having an ex.
Or wife.
Or ex-wife. Who in turn you may or may not have children by her.
Daddy mama drama.
And so we have a topic about daddy mama drama, honey.
All right.
Well, some of us have grown folks' baby mama drama.
Excuse me?
Grown folks' baby mama drama, you know, when the child is old enough to fend for himself, but the mama still wants to be involved.
That's
baby mama
drama. That's grown folks' mama drama.
All right. Okay. Throw that in there, too. So next week, we're going to talk about baby mama drama. John and I would like to thank y'all for calling in tonight. It was a wonderful show.
Thank you.
We had a great turnout. But before we end this show, I want to ask you guys, are there any more questions? All right. You all have a good night. And y'all tune in next week, same time, same number, 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night, I mean next week, next Tuesday, 310-982-4126. Call in for the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Hello? Are you guys still there? They're hanging up. I'll pray next time.
They don't follow the
I think we
Yeah, well, everybody wants you to do it, but I have to worry about it.